to the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, hitting firewalled hoe. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISO? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange, you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RANs, MIPS, SIPs. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 193. We're coming to you today on May 8th, 2007. And, you know, 193, that's really close to 200. It's a big 200. And it's supposed to be a special episode from what I understand, but nobody tells me anything about it. Just a little face man here. And we just lost half our audience when they figured out it was me. So we haven't had a episode in, I think, 2 weeks, something like that. So you don't have your Raven crew today. You have Face Man as the host. I know I've gone up a lot since I was last here. We have Zal91 over here. Say hi.
Hey, everyone.
Damn cat wasn't even
Greg
hungry.
Greg Anubis, our engineer,
how
is
what?
Recording.
Oh, did you start engineer. Without me? Great. Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, we started without you.
Oh, great.
So, that's Drake. And we have a female co-host here. Say hi, female co-host. Tell us your name.
Hi, female co-host. Noelle.
So we have Noelle over there. Today's episode, or tonight, or this evening, or...
You know what, it's been 4 weeks. I don't even think it matters anymore. We have day, evening, night, afternoon.
Yeah.
Whenever you're listening.
So, don't tune out now. You won't be disappointed.
Yes, you will. Just go.
Okay, so, as Noelle is not in the rest of the episode, she is going to give us her personal hacking story, and then we're going to switch to the pre-recorded episode where the other three of us give our personal hacking story and cover email and the main topic. So, Noelle, what have you been doing in the hacking world?
Recently bought a Roomba / Scuba combo, which, I don't know, they're annoying.
It's annoying.
Yeah, not worth it. I mean, you have to charge it and blah. And my mom is kind of crazy, and she always tries to figure out ways to keep me off the computer, but little does she know I have lots and lots of friends to supply me with spare parts. Like, she took away the power cord and most recently the monitor cord, but for a short while she tried to delete my user on Windows so that I couldn't get on. And for a while, I was really careful. Like, of course, I just went under the administrator. But for a while, I was really careful.
So are you not supposed to be on the computer?
Oh, no, no.
Not at all.
Bad. Not at all.
Not at all.
Not sure why. Kind of crazy. And then one day, she was, I was just like, Mom, I need to get online for something. And she was like, just get on. Like, what are you talking about? And she's like, just go on like you always do. Like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
So you're also a liar.
Huh?
Is that it? You're also a liar, then. Is that it?
Dot.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Straight up.
All right. Well, personally, I think the Roomba would be cool. Is that what it is, Roomba, or is it Rumba?
I think it's Roomba.
It is cool. I mean, the technology and stuff is cool.
Yeah.
But once you actually have it in your living room while you're trying to listen to music or do something else, It's quieter than a vacuum cleaner, and I guess it's more convenient, but I don't know.
It follows you around.
It does follow you around. It bumps
into you. Oh,
that's cute.
Put a little, like, suit on it and pretend it's a pet. A little dog suit.
No, my mom refers to it as he, like it is our pet. Like, oh, look at him go. I'm like, Mom, it is a robot. It is a robot. No gender.
What you need is you need a Segue. Just ride that around. Put a little broom on the Segue, like ride on mowers. Just Segue back and forth.
That would be cool.
Be awesome.
No, but the Roomba rapes chair legs and scatters papers.
Well, so does Face Man, but we let him clean.
Yes, but we're not bringing that up with our many, many listeners.
Okay, fine. Put it at the end.
Some of which are government officials.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Well, sounds cool. And now we give you our recorded little piece of whatever it is that we have.
So you should stop listening about now and jump to the end.
Now I gotta ask you, what are you guys drinking?
I am drinking Orangina, which my grandmother sent from England.
So it's English.
Yes.
Well, I have a pound of chocolate, water, and everybody's favorite, sweet tea. I'll tell you what, I got more emails on the sweet tea thing from when I was on here, last time I was on here, about the sweet tea than anything else.
Sweet tea is so manly, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. I got more email about the sweet tea than I did about the fact that it was a wilderness survival episode. Don't tune out now. This is going to be good. We're going to throw in some urban survival in there, too.
No, it won't. It's going to be terrible. Leave.
Well, does anybody have any housekeeping?
I don't know. What has happened in the last 3 weeks that needs housekeeping?
Well, we haven't had episodes. I think we covered that.
Yes, we did.
Let's move right into personal hacking stories, then.
Okay.
Well, I just recently got a new computer running Windows Vista that I'm going to get to play with for a little while. It is a HP Media Center, but the mouse does not work. It's wireless.
It has Elite touchscreen.
Yes, it has Elite touchscreen, and I got to throw the show notes all together with a touchscreen.
And I had to edit the crap out of them, so they worked.
Yeah, plus my keyboard is wireless, and it's dying. But it's really a cool computer. It's been fun to play with Vista. The voice recognition is not as high as I'd probably like it to, but it's about as good as I can expect.
Well, did you train it?
Yes, I trained it.
Well, did you get a headset mic or just a little lay mic that's on there?
It has a built-in array mic.
Oh, that should be fine, then.
HP did a good job on this computer.
Maybe it filters out noobs and it just didn't like you.
You know, it might, because everybody else doesn't have a problem with it at all.
I like the voice recognition of Vista. I think it's actually very nice. Have you done the thing with the mouse grid where it makes the mouse grid and you can click around?
Yeah, the mouse grid is a lot of fun.
Oh, that's so much fun.
Yeah.
I didn't try it out before I upgraded to XP from Vista. I should have. I would have another excuse to hate it.
Like, I can't really say that XP is an upgrade. I can't really say that it's a downgrade either.
It's different. It's just not the same.
Yeah, it's just not the same. So I'm going to be doing some video editing on this. I have to edit two 3-day seminars. So that's 6 days of full video, and they recorded the whole thing.
What do you plan on using for that?
For that, I'm not really sure yet. I will probably wind up using Windows Movie Maker.
Can I recommend Adobe Premiere or Sony Vegas?
Sony Vegas is all right. I've used it.
I'm not a fan of it, but I like Adobe Premiere. Hack 5 uses Sony Vegas.
Yeah. Well, I'll have to check that out. Maybe they'll buy that for me.
Well, that's why they use Sony Vegas, is because it's so inexpensive comparatively.
Yeah, but I get to have this lead computer in my room for the next month and get to do all this stuff with it.
Until they get the credit card bill and repo it back, huh?
Actually, while I have the camcorder, I might do, like, an episode, a thing of Hack TV. Don't hold me to that, though.
I'm going to hold you to it now.
No, don't hold me to that. You can't hold me to doing a Hack TV.
Send hate mail if he doesn't do it.
Faceman@awesome.com. Send it all there.
What you can hold it to is that I am going to be purchasing my own camcorder sometime within the next 3 months. So, I've been doing that, playing with Vista. I've been playing with FreeSpire, which is free.
How about that?
Yeah, well, what it is there's Linspire and then there's FreeSpire, and Linspire is not free and FreeSpire is free, and they're both Linux.
It's Linux for the noobs, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty easy, and for me, I need that. I mean, I'm a phone freak. I don't do this whole computer machine.
You should try Ubuntu. It's nice. The new version is 7.10 beta. It's nice.
I have 7.04.
Well, that's the beta. The release will be 7.10.
Okay.
Yeah, I have that on my other machine, and I don't really like it.
Oh. Just go with Debian. I think 4.0 stable came out today.
Oh, did it? Ooh.
Well, I'll tell you what. Since I was on the show last, I still have not been able to get Debian working.
Well, you know, Ubuntu is based off Debian.
Yeah, well, now I'm running FreeSpire, so.
You should run Gentoo and be Leet.
Or SourceMage.
But I'm not Leet. I'm Leet at the phones. This whole computer machine thing.
The computer machine?
Yeah, it's a computer machine.
You suck at the online?
No, I don't suck at the online, just the computer machine.
You should learn how to use bullet points, though. Make my life easier.
Well, I can't do bullet points with a keyboard that's dying and a touch screen.
And you can't do bullet points with a Mac. I mean, come on.
Drake, that's what we have you here for, to add bullet points to our show notes.
Yeah, that's basically it.
So, I think that is my personal hacking story. I was going to tell the Walmart story. Basically, I got owned by Walmart the other night.
Yes.
It was kind of Walmart owning me and self-ownage all at the same time. We were on Bell's Mind, pound 666, pimp, pimp. No, it's not pound.
You just pimped up
everything. Okay, so it's room 666 that we're generally in. So stop in there, say hey.
Bell'sMind.net homepage.
Yeah, it's right there. So one of the guys in there had never gotten on the Walmart PA, and for some reason we were talking about it. God forbid that, because I hate Walmart, and I really don't like talking about them either.
But with all of their fabulous low prices and one-stop shopping, how can anyone not love Walmart?
Yeah. So we called them up, and, well, excuse me, I called them up, and I was going to show this guy how to get on the Walmart. Show him how to get on the Walmart PA.
We had to call like 5 stores before that and get the damn extension number, too.
It was 4. 4 stores.
A bit of social engineering there.
Yeah, a little bit of social engineering. We had to call them and get the extension to get on the PA because as much as Pony Boy does a wonderful job on Project Walmart Freedom, the stores in...
California.
What was it? Yeah, what city was it? It was
San Diego.
San Diego. The Walmarts in San Diego do not use the same extensions as mentioned on Project Walmart Freedom, as we soon discovered. We social engineered them out of that. And so we called another one and got transferred to pound 96. Well, as I was doing this...
Well, we didn't get transferred to pound 96.
Yeah, I got transferred to pound 96. But see, on the conference, if you press pound, it drops you from the room. If you press 9 from the main menu, the decoder comes on and reads off your caller ID. Well, lo and behold, I didn't block my caller ID that night. So over the Walmart PA goes my caller ID. Yeah. So I barely caught it in time to cut off the last 3 digits of my phone number. So if you were lucky enough to be in a San Diego Walmart that happened to be one that I called, theoretically, I mean, if I could get in trouble for it or anything, I didn't really do it. It was Drake, and I'm just telling a story.
I live in San Diego, too, so you're just screwing me over, aren't you?
Yep.
No, it was Savant. Savant did it.
Yeah, Savant did it.
Savant did it.
Yeah, well. So my caller ID got broadcast all over the Walmart PA. I have later learned ways to not have the DTMF do anything. We then successfully owned them 3 nights later. So anyways, Bell's Mind has kind of been getting up and going recently a little bit more now that the Bell's Mind is actually back up. Props to Not Theory, by the way.
Oh my God, yes, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we all love Knot Theory.
I heart Knot Theory.
Lesson 3 Knot Theory.
I was about to say that. So, thanks to Knot Theory and the wonderful lady at Walmart.
She was nice, too.
Yes, she was nice. I have successfully been owned by Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's my Walmart story.
I think my frame arrives tomorrow from Germany. For my, I'm putting a laptop in a picture frame, another one, right? And I ordered a frame from Germany, so it's German.
So you can have, like, a dynamic font site?
Well, see, my goal is to have the laptop in the picture frame so I can have different pictures of Zao every 15 minutes or so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Come on, get somebody prettier than that. I'm sure Strom or Stank Dog will send you pictures.
Kind of slideshow.
My chair just broke underneath me. This is bad. All right, well, do you guys have personal hacking stories? We have to fill time.
Photoshopping for a bunch of people. That's pretty much it. If you need any graphic work done for free, just contact me somehow.
Of course, you have to pay in other ways, but just not money.
Yeah, Strom slows me.
That was starting as a mafia.
Screw this stupid chair. I'm doing the show on my knees.
That's what she said.
While you're down there, can you bow down to my greatness?
You know, speaking of bowing down, we are recording the show on Sunday, Easter Sunday. So this is our Easter special.
And there goes Trem. He just turned the show off when we mentioned religion.
Yeah, well, there's like 6,000 listeners after a month or something. So I think we're good if we lose one person. So, for everybody out there, he is risen. Do you guys not know the response to that?
No, I don't. I'm not a religious person.
Everybody knows the response to that. Well, besides you guys.
Okay, do you want to explain it to us then?
Okay, I say he is risen, and you say he is risen indeed.
But that sounds dumb.
Really?
Well.
Are you aware that sounds dumb? Because
no,
it does.
I hadn't really thought about it.
Well, you should. Okay, go up to a random person on the street and try that and see how it works out and get back to me.
It worked fine this afternoon.
Okay, not today. It's Easter. I mean, in general.
Well, you only do it on Easter.
Well, I'm not going to. I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you what. Easter's
3 weeks from now, remind me.
I got a pound of chocolate sitting next to me. It's 2,300 calories.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This, I'm sure this, what I'm drinking right now, orange juice isn't that healthy either. It's 12% juice.
What else is it?
High fructose corn syrup, orange pulp, natural flavor.
This is such bad radio.
Wow, and 40 milligrams of carbs, or sodium.
Zells, did we get an email?
Did we get email?
So we'll move into email now.
No, no one sent this email. I just opened it and my computer shut down, so I think that means they're sending it.
Your computer shut down?
Yeah.
That's
because like
Mac.
Actually, I was in Windows, so.
Well, you have Kevin Rose on speed dial, right?
Yeah, I'll just call him to like fix my Mac.
He's such an asshat. I hate him so much.
And we'll come sleep with my mom.
Well, that concludes email, then. Wasn't that exciting?
Yeah. All right, so we're going to go into our specific show topic, which is...
Wilderness Survival Part 3.
Yep. So what we're going to talk about today is nuclear, biological, and chemical while in the woods with no preparation to protect yourself against it. And I think this should take up a full episode, so It's nuclear material. Well, there's just one thing you need to remember. If a nuke goes off, hide under your desk.
Under the desk. Oh, yeah.
And
duck and cover. I have that video. That video is so funny.
But for the record, hiding under your desk does absolutely nothing.
When Jimmy hears the bang, he's not afraid. He knows what to do. He ducks and covers. I mean, like, you see this huge blast, and he's all fine and stuff. Stupid.
And he disintegrates.
Oh, no. Jimmy's fine underneath the desk, but the XP on top is gone. No, our show is not really about wilderness survival. Today we're talking about NCFI, the National Computer Forensics Institute.
But what is that?
Well, it's somewhat like a hacker college, almost. It's by the government.
Okay, good. That's exactly where I want to be.
Mm-hmm. And
but not for the government. It's evil.
There's a couple of press releases.
Don't let the black helicopters flying kids.
There's a couple of press releases I want to give everybody. So you can pause the show and go to these press releases. The first one is on the Homeland Security page, or their site. It's not I don't think it's on the index page anymore. And it's tinyurl.com. 3-4 Papa Lima Kilo Bravo. And the second one, let me give a little backstory first. The facility they're putting it in Hoover, Alabama, which is, that's right next door to me almost. So, there was also a press release on the Hoover, Alabama website, and that can be found at tinyurl.com, 3 Delta Kilo Echo Delta Lima. Okay, so everybody's read that now. What we want to talk about is the government's official goals and ideas for this program. First, we kind of have to tell you what it is.
That could help, yeah.
Yeah, for those of you that didn't read it, or maybe don't have access to the computer now, you burn the show to your MP3 player, which, why would you want us on your MP3 player? Is beyond.
They burn the show to the MP3 player? Okay, terminology, great.
I told you, I suck at the computer machine thingy.
I'm holding my iPod above the lighter right now.
The overall goal of it is to train law enforcement officers and the Department of Justice and judges and everything the way computers work. Because right now, I hate to pop your bubble, but not exactly the brightest bulbs in the bucket.
Whoa. The internet is not a series of tubes?
No, I'm afraid to tell you, it's really dump trucks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ted Stevens got that wrong. It's dump trucks. I'm sorry. And that is my official opinion on it. It is dump trucks.
I agree.
I mean, Black Ratchet has stated on previous episodes that, you know, the tubes is a good analogy, but to tell you the truth, I think dump trucks are.
Good analogy would be maybe a web.
We'll call it the interweb.
The web fits for the World Wide Web, but the World Wide Web is what sucks about the internet. And I've said that before. Without the World Wide Web, the internet would be awesome. You know, we should all just move back to dial-up. Everything would be fine.
Oh, well, for real.
28 baud.
One baud.
We have digressed so far. So, back on topic. The overall goal of this is to be a school for law enforcement, Department of Justice, district attorney, and judges, local law enforcement, to train them on the ways of the tube.
Okay.
Or dump trucks. I think we made that point. It's dump trucks. So they need to understand the way it works, and most of them do not now. And there's also going to be what they call a smart courtroom there. And so maybe the way I'm seeing it is if you commit a federal computer crime, you will come right back to my neck of the woods. So,
to Alabama, where the nexus of all technology in the United States is.
Yes, and actually I think that's at the bottom of the article here. The state of Alabama will be synonymous with the cutting edge of all high technology-based law enforcement and crime prevention. The nation, as well as the world, will look to Alabama first to educate and train the next generation of world-class high-technology computer forensic professionals.
You hear that, y'all?
So is this before or after the apocalypse happens?
You heard it here first, folks. Alabama is synonymous with cutting-edge high-technology.
You mean it wasn't already?
Well, I mean, we have Huntsville.
Well, I mean, you guys have, like, what, 5, 6 computers now? So you're rocking it.
Yeah, and with this new HP I got, that's 7.
No, well,
I have a Mac, so that almost counts as a full computer, right?
So, yeah. I want to cover kind of what this will supposedly accomplish. And their basic idea is to educate these people that should know what they're talking about and really don't. I don't know how many times I have to say that. They really don't. And I'm probably going to go on a rant on that in a little bit. But the idea is that they need to know what's going on, and this should be able to put a stop to certain crimes, and they have the list here of the crimes they want to stop, that being hacking, theft, email threat, complex or organized identity theft, white-collar crime, theft of telecommunication service, theft of trademark and copyrighted material. The list goes on. We're going to touch on that in a little bit because it's something that... Well, you'll see in a minute.
Well, hacking is wrong. It should be illegal.
Yeah, supposedly. But we'll touch on that in a minute in my rant. So, and hopefully this will remove the ignorance that is currently about computers from the Department of Justice.
No, it won't.
It won't be like this guy, Hacksword, Mike Gibson.
He stole my internet.
Sentenced him to death.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, barbecue hacks. And some of the fear of what people have of hackers. And we've said it on the show before, hackers are not bad. I think the first episode of Bin Rev Radio was Stank on a rant about how hacking is not bad. And
I think you were preaching to the choir.
Yeah, I'm preaching to the choir here, so I'm going to move on. I just want to touch on kind of who is involved here. I have a small list. We have the SS, Secret Service, DHS, Department of Homeland Security, FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, DOJ, Department of Justice, LEO, local law enforcement officers, DA, Department, District Attorney, NSA, National Security Agency, OMG, Oh My Gosh, BBQ, Barbecue, TLA, three-letter agency. Oh, no, wait.
Who added those to the show notes?
That was me.
Quick side note, what do you guys think of Google Docs? I've never used it before, but...
I like it.
I like Google Docs. I'm using it right now.
It's Google Docs. It's awesome, except it doesn't work in Safari.
No, okay, your Mac just restarted halfway through the show. I think maybe it's locally a problem.
We'll leave Google Docs out of the show. We'll pimp it at the end.
Oh, that's fine.
Go ahead and add it to the end of the show note.
Because we can do that because it's all elite and collaborative.
I'm going to read some of the major points in this. Just kind of go through, read off the titles of the different sections on the major press release, which is on the Hoover website. The press release on the Department of Homeland Security website, it wasn't very long. It was a paragraph or two. So I'm going to read off just the titles here and just kind of what they're about. They have the overall introduction, just kind of telling you what's going on, when the building's being put in, where they're starting. They're talking about a ceremony they're doing. Then they have the problem, which is, of course, hackers and theft and money being stolen. Then they have a quick solution, which actually is not a solution.
Well, what is their solution?
Their solution is to teach people. The
knowledge
theory,
is power.
Let's see. The academic-based programs teach the theory of computer digital evidence.
The theory?
The theory. They're not going to teach them how to actually do it. They're just going to teach them the theory.
So, like, this is a computer and it holds information?
Yeah, probably. Well, actually, it looks like they're going to have some of the brightest minds that are involved with law enforcement,
Ted Stevens,
and computers in there. So, you know, they might have something in there that's moderately good. They have projections and goals for the National Computer Forensics Institute, which really just kind of says, hey, we're going to protect Mama and her kids from computer crime. And
which is good. We need that.
Yeah, I mean, really, you wouldn't want to be killed by some hacker through your computer.
What was that, a National Enquirer or Weekly World News thing? Hackers can make your computer explode by modifying the molecular structure of it.
I can do that.
I can do that.
You can't do that? Oh, you're on the Mac. It's not compatible.
No, the Mac has the alpha button on my keyboard that does it.
Do you have the pwn button? Picture of Kevin Rose,
yeah,
like, shaking his finger?
All you have to do is remotely reset the refresh rate to 20,000 times every half second. You're good to go.
I'm on LCD. I'm fine.
Yeah, so you're fine. But little mama and her kids.
Actually, I'm not. I have seven monitors pointed at me right now, so I'm toast. The whole block would go up and
fried point from all directions. And for the record, none of us can actually blow up a computer.
Except Zal 91.
Except Zal 91.
Yeah, but he has a Kevin Rose button.
Zal has a napalm built into his computer. No, not napalm. Thermite.
Thermite.
Napalm would do the trick, too.
I almost bought a thermite drive one time.
Yeah.
It was so expensive. Oh, my God. It was like $2,000.
Yeah, but if somebody, a three-letter agency is busted on your door, and then you press a button, and they see fire, what are they going to do?
Well, as much of a cash money millionaire as I am, I don't have $2,000 to literally waste like that.
Haven't you ever read the Anarchist Cookbook?
Yes, but I didn't think that you could actually make thermite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Not that I know about this. I might
have a friend.
Just
make sure you keep it in a metal container.
I might have a friend
not
who
really
might have made thermite from the recipe in the Anarchist Cookbook.
Bob.
Oh,
Bob.
Bob. Yeah.
Yeah, Bob.
We all know Bob, right?
I think Bob is savant, but
I think Bob is savant, too, yes. I think Bob called Walmart and got owned.
Well, I might have a friend who might just know that the recipe in the Anarchist Cookbook for thermite works. But I might not. I never know. Of course, Bin Rad Radio supports no illegal explosives as such. I do, though, but not Bin Rad Radio.
Yes, I condone explosives. They're quite fun if you do it safely.
Yes, safely as in with a license.
I can quote my SIG. Stank Dog and the DDP do not condone what I say, and if it's illegal, neither do I.
All right, so I'm going to finish here. They have a joint effort just kind of overlaying that it won't just be Secret Service or just Department of Homeland Security. That they just kind of go through a quick list of the different people involved. Then the next one is the building and just kind of who's building the building, what specific agencies will have access to the building, when they're building it. They don't mention where they're building it. They do mention when it should be done, which is January 1st, 2008, which I believe is just the first phase. They kind of overlay what it has in it, which is 6 classrooms and an actual working computer forensic lab.
Ooh.
Oh.
Why would they need that?
Say it with me now.
Computers in Alabama.
As well as a smart courtroom, among other things. You know what that means? The toilets will have a 56K modem. They're set to begin construction mid-April to the 1st of May. Now, I've been driving around looking for this place, and I have no idea where they're going to build it. They've got other type of criminal activity include, and that's the list of all the different stuff they want to defend against, and that takes up a full page of my screen. They've got their training schedule on here. And it looks like they're going to have approximately 900 to 1,500 students per year with 48 calendar weeks of training each year, utilizing state-of-the-art facility with smart courtrooms.
Do you want to explain what a smart courtroom is?
I don't know. That's all they call it, is a smart courtroom. We're going to attempt. Now, we're recording this on Sunday. The Hoover City Hall and Hoover Public Safety Building was closed on Friday when I tried to call them for Easter, and they will not be open again until Monday. So I'm going to try and call them on Monday, see if I can get a hold of somebody, do a quick phone interview, and then see if we can append it to the end of the episode. Don't hold me to that, and I'll only do it if it's a really decent phone call. So, what were we talking about?
Crap. I believe you were just finishing off with something with smart courtrooms.
All right, I am so late. I just fixed my chair.
Could we continue on, please?
Mm-hmm.
I'd hate to bring down the quality of Ben Rev Radio.
Okay. I'm gonna read their actual casework example here. A school system's computer network security is compromised. The names, date of birth, and social security numbers of young students are stolen. Merchants of stolen identities know that each of the unblemished credit identities of young males can be worth tens of thousands of dollars overseas. Those identities are easily sold over the internet. Sexual offenders and predators use their computers to store and collect images of children being sexually exploited, as well as to develop relationships with other individuals who share a similar interest. There is a growing segment of the population who develop relationships with vulnerable children in order to meet for the purpose of sexual contact. Recently, thousands of our nation's veterans have had their identities compromised by an employee carelessly handling information. At this time, experts can only speculate as to the extent of the potential criminal activity that could ensue should this information fall into the wrong hand. I mean, while all of that is possible and probably very easy to do, they don't need to tell people that. They know
people
it already.
People seem to lose data all the time now.
I know. It's all over the news.
About once a week, someone left a laptop somewhere. Why would you carry a database on a laptop to begin with?
I think it's some three-letter organization. I don't know.
It was the
400 laptops stolen.
It was the veteran hospital place, people. And their laptop got stolen.
You know, if I was carrying that kind of information on a laptop, and I wouldn't, but if I did, I would at least just take the drive out and put it in my back pocket or something, because someone would have to target the hard drive, but they're probably just going to look for the laptop just to, you know, put the laptop on eBay.
Yeah, and the idea is they probably didn't even know what they got. Like,
yeah,
exactly. They got it.
But at least full disk encryption. I mean, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I am not against this school. That's a great thing that they can do. They can teach these people that. But this section of the press release, the whole thing is tinted with the fear tactics that they're using. And, I mean, everybody knows that their names and date of birth and social security numbers can be compromised. And they're using kids, and they're calling them, they're innocent, and
yeah,
they can't protect themselves. Well, you know
the
what?
Evil hackers.
Why, somebody said, I can get it. I mean, I wouldn't do that, but they use these fear tactics, and they say, hey, your kids, they can be taken, and then they jump right in from their credit identities to being the kid have sexual contact with some adult that impersonated a kid. I mean, we all know that's bad, and most people know, hey, don't give out your name and stuff on the internet.
Or your phone number on a PA system.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, everybody knows not to do that. I mean, we teach kids in schools not to do that now. But
they should be more concerned about places like MySpace, where these kids put their entire, you know, this is the route I take to school, and I'm by myself, you know.
I think, what is it, Facebook? Like, it has, on your default profile page, it displays your phone number, and I think your address and stuff automatically.
Yeah, cool. And you have to have a school to get a Facebook, right?
Yeah.
I mean, a school system's computer network security is compromised. Well, I can go ahead and guarantee you that 90%, and I'm pulling that out of my butt, that 90% of all school system computer networks is compromised already.
I know for a fact my friend Bob's school network is.
I know for a fact.
So is mine.
That all of the networks in my area, I can get on, no problem. Yeah.
Well, my friend Bob's school doesn't even have encryption on their Wi-Fi.
Let me tell you about my friend Bob's school. My friend Bob's school, the password to log into the computers is your full name followed by your birthday as the password.
Yeah, and they say a school system's computer security could be compromised.
Could be.
They are. All right, this is not an example. This is, well, yes, it is an example, but it's fear tactics that don't need to be used. I mean, honestly, this is true. It could be done.
Let me play devil's advocate. Okay, if I went up to a parent and said, like, hey, I can get information about you. I can find out all of the phone calls you've made in the last, you know, 6 months. They'll go, well, I don't care if you know who I'm calling. But if I said, I can find out exactly who your child is calling for the entire last 6 months and everywhere they've been and everywhere they're going, the parent might get concerned then.
Yeah. And, I mean, I hear all these people, I think this has probably been talked about before on here, but the people that say, hey, I don't care if my security on my computer gets compromised, I'll just
redo it. Yeah, who wants to read my email? No one cares about my email.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the way it works. The information can be gathered. Everybody go listen to the things that 2600 did about Privacy is Dead. They did it at Hope Number 6.
Oh, my God, yes.
The Privacy is Dead thing. I've been listening to that, and it really is. If somebody wants something, they can get it.
Well, it's not just one piece of information. Like, you want to combine, you know, what they buy with where they go, with who they call, with all these things. So you get all these little pieces of information, but it's the big map you want to look at.
They don't need to have this in there. I mean, they're trying to scare people so that they'll support this project.
And that's all the media does. Every headline is either a scare tactic or a human story about something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm not saying that this isn't something that shouldn't be supported, but they don't need to use these fear tactics. And I think Department of Homeland Security got that. They didn't add that to their press release. This is all Hoover City, City of Hoover, that's doing this. And I'm going to read another quote from their article here. Computers and digital technology is used in all manner of crimes against persons as well as property. It is also one of the leading mechanisms used to further terrorist acts. How much computer use do you think was involved with hijacking an airplane?
Microsoft Flight Simulator?
Well, you know...
No. These guys were trained. They knew how to fly.
I thought they just SSH'd into the plane.
Yeah. But, I mean... All right. Terrorist part out. Crimes against persons as well as property? What kind of crimes could I commit against property? Well, I could change who owns the car that you drive. Other than that, I can't think of anything. I mean, I guess I could probably change who owns your house, but that would take a little bit of work.
Well, did you just say that with a computer you can't commit crime?
No. I said, I mean, there's plenty of crimes you can do with a computer, but there's not nearly as many as they're saying there is, that they're insinuating that there is.
You can do more crime in the RL than on the computer.
Yeah. By far. And
this is true.
Yeah, and they're saying it's one of the leading mechanisms. I don't think it is. I mean, hey, these guys do statistics. All right, let me read another example here. The monetary losses from computer-related crimes now exceeds the money involved in the illegal drug trade worldwide. I have a question. Do you honestly think that the U.S. government knows how much illegal drug trade is going on worldwide?
No way.
No way. It's
unless
not,
they're involved.
There's no way that they could know all of what's going on. And the monetary losses from computer-related crimes, just
okay,
because...
Okay, those are exaggerated.
Yeah, just because a bank spends $50,000 to see if their system is still secure every time they get a ping.
Well, who was that guy that was using the LexisNexis account at the New York Times, and they tried to charge him for, like, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of LexisNexis searches, but they had an unlimited account? Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, my God. That was, like, 2 years ago, though.
All right. Here's my favorite right here. Criminal networks can reach around the world and cause harm and pain.
And pain?
And pain. No one is safe from their reaches. Our
oh,
children,
no, dude, here's the pain button. It's right next to F12.
No one is safe from their reaches. Our children, our identity, and all that is important are vulnerable to the computer-savvy criminal. All he needs is access. and the computer is an open door into our homes and our business. It is also an open window into the bedroom of our children.
So like in IRC, instead of typing slash me, you type in like slash you and then pain, and it works?
I guess.
Pseudo start pain.
You know,
hey, you can't type that.
This is ironic that they would use it as also an open window into the bedroom of our children.
If you have Windows on your computer, it's an open window.
User enhancement.
The feature.
The feature, yeah. It's a usability enhancement.
Yeah, but, I mean, how can criminal networks reach around the world and cause harm and pain?
Okay, well, I have an example, actually. There was one guy who he worked at some kind of sewage refinery or processing plant, something like that, and he got laid off for some reason. There was some kind of thing going on there. And when he left, he took one of the interface radios that controls the pumps, and he dumped like 50,000 gallons of raw sewage into the environment.
Could he have done that from the other side of the world?
Oh, maybe. If he hacked in, I guess. But point is, I guess you can kind of cause harm.
I guess it depends on what your definition of hurt, physically or...
Yeah.
I mean, if you hurt your back,
I guess
that
could be emotional. I mean, well, the quote is, at this time, no standardized certifications exist to establish one as a recognized expert in the field of computer forensics. One can simply purchase a software package and learn the program and then hold oneself out as an expert in the area. With virtually no training and experience, an individual could discredit years of work and research in the area of computer forensics as well as negatively affect existing legal casework.
Wait, did they say there are no certifications you can get in computer forensics?
No standardized certifications.
Oh, I see.
No standardized. So that's their way of saying anybody can call themselves an expert, but nobody can stop these hackers from coming and killing your kids. It aggravates me a lot.
Bob kills kids, not so.
Bob, yeah, Bob, of course.
All right. In rant, partially, I'm going to go through the different crimes they want to stop with this wonderful system. And I really, despite what I'm saying here, I just have a problem with the press release and what they're trying to do to sell this over. I really do think this is an excellent program that they're going to try here, but...
I have a perfect thing to sum it up. The people in charge of the HooverAlabama.gov website suck.
They really do.
They're not lead hacksaws.
It's the mayor, who is Mayor Patelos, I believe. It's the mayor and his homeboys.
Well, come on, you don't think these guys have actually made these decisions on their own. They sit around and go, what would look good? I know, let's stop computer crime. How can we do that? And then they shoot it around for an hour or two and come out with this plan.
Well, they didn't come up with it.
Who came up with it?
Secret Service and Homeland Security in a joint effort came up with it.
Even better.
And then our wonderful senator something or other, who... He's our wonderful senator something or other. He pitched it to them to bring it to Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
And some of the crimes they want to stop are hacking, as they define it as unlawful access, destruction of or unauthorized entry into and use of computer systems.
Now, see, that's way too vague.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because then a lot of people could go to jail just for that haven't done anything.
I think I'm doing that right now, probably.
And, I mean, if they want to make that the law, by all means, they can make that the law, but... Yeah,
well, computer systems is so vague that they can apply computer systems to anything. Everything has a computer nowadays.
Yeah, everything has a computer system now. And if it's hacking, they'll throw you in federal prison.
So you break into a car. Well, you just circumvented the alarm system. That's a computer. That's hacking and Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Mind you, of course, that we are not legal professionals of any sort. Yeah. All right, so some of their other crimes, theft, interception, manipulation, destruction, or unauthorized disclosure of data stored within computers. Well, theft, I can say that I've never done that.
Can you steal data?
Yes.
How so?
It's data.
Yeah, but if I take a file from you, you still have that file, and I still have that file.
That's
a whole other topic.
That's one of the lower ones here. Destruction, I've never done that. Unauthorized disclosure of data stored within computers. I've disclosed it to the people that owned the computer and told them that their computer was vulnerable and wide open.
Yeah, you shouldn't plug that Windows 95 machine directly into the cable modem.
Yeah. I mean, but on that case, I knew the persons whose computer it was, and it wasn't a problem. I wasn't worried about getting sued or anything. So there's just so many different things on here. They have complex or organized identity theft where technology is used to harvest data or produce counterfeit documents. Okay, I can see where producing counterfeit documents would be bad. Identity theft, I can understand that too. I mean, that would fall under the Secret Service jurisdiction, especially if it involved money. They got white-collar crime, such as internet, automated teller machines, credit card debt, just white-collar crime. Okay, that's fine. I mean, I don't have a problem with stopping people that rip off automated teller machines. I mean, there's multiple ways to do that. We're not going to go into that. Theft of telecommunication services. I can understand that. I mean, they have a right to money. I mean, they're just trying to make money here. Theft of trademark and copyrighted material or other intellectual property through computer, digital, network intrusions, or other, and get this, sophisticated means. No sophisticated
means. See, this could
means.
Be solved if we just had more DRM.
Commercial software piracy. I can understand that, too. A lot of people put hard work into their programs.
Entire companies are formed around it.
Right. I mean, I can fully understand that one. High-tech cargo theft. Okay, so this one, theft and resale of computer components and other high-technology products produced by the high-technology industry. Does that mean that if you sell...
Isn't that already illegal?
Isn't that
just like stealing stuff and then selling it? That's called stealing stuff.
No, this is theft and resale of computer... Okay, that's just theft.
So if I steal something, that means I'm hacking?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm such an Uber hacker, I broke through a window and stole a computer. Fear!
I hacked the candy bar out of the store.
Yeah, and it's only hacking because the candy bar has an RFID in it. I want to skip a couple. Crimes involving pornography, especially images of children involved in sexual activity.
Okay, well, that's fine.
I can fully understand stopping that. I don't think a kid knows what they're doing there.
Do they, Zal?
Yeah, Zal, how's your porno going?
You're the one making movies with, like, Windows Movie Maker on your touchscreen computer.
I like to touch things.
Touchscreen doesn't even have to use his hands.
I can fully understand that. And you know what? If anybody's listening from the NCFI, if you want me to come help... I would be more than happy to help, even if you're just doing that, or, I mean, most of these other things I wouldn't do, I wouldn't come and help you just for that, but just for the underage pornography, I would come and help you for that, not meaning that I would actually look at it or anything, I'm just...
And that would work out, because I would have someone on the inside.
I want to stop it.
I want to come, I want to investigate, I want to burn it to a CD, I want to solve this problem.
I'm going to skip the rest because I want to skip the rest there. And, you know, I'm just wondering what the Joe Sixpack down the street is thinking about all of this. If he read this, he's thinking...
I think he would skip over and go to the article about Paris Hilton.
Yeah, I mean, probably, except that's not on the Hoover, Alabama webpage. I mean, I guess if he was on Slashdot or something. But we digress. I'm wondering, is this a false sense of security? Are these guys going to do a good job at this? It all depends on how well, what they teach them, what perspective they come at to teach to these students that come in.
Where are they going to get the teachers?
Well, it's going to start off by being staffed with, I think it's, should be down here at the bottom, staffed with, like, six Secret Service agents. I'm not seeing it. I don't think it actually says. I'm just going to go with six Secret Service agents.
Okay.
And that's the Secret Services. That's what the Secret Service is providing. It might be more. It might be less. I don't. Now, I know it's not less than six. They might have actually changed the article here from the first time I read it, because I'm not seeing it. But, I mean, hey, they have the experts on here. Well, supposed experts, because there's no standard for certification. So, I mean, they could be calling themselves experts and not really be experts. I'm wondering, how might this affect us as hackers? If they do teach it from a standard of, hey, hackers are bad, which I really don't think they are because of the way Homeland Security has put out this press release. I really don't think they are, and I think we're going to be fine. But, I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, how do you think this will affect us if they go, if law enforcement actually knows what they're doing?
I think it could help if they execute it right.
I'm also wondering what the probability of this working at all is. I mean, something like this has never been done before. If they get it wrong, then they could screw up 1,500 people every 54 weeks, I think it was.
It's a 54-week class.
48 calendar weeks, so they can screw up 1,500 minds every 48 weeks.
That's pretty efficient.
It's not bad.
I can only average about 4 or 5.
Yeah, I mean, I've never screwed up more than 6 minds. Total.
In a week.
Yeah, total. Yeah. I mean, hey.
Total, wow. Oh, geez.
But, I mean, I'd give them a 50-50 chance. What do you guys think?
I'm going to reserve judgment.
Reserve judgment? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll go with the same zero judgment. I'll have to see how it turns out.
Okay. Well, the other thing I'm thinking is how we might be able to help. You know, maybe they need informants out here for stopping child pornography. I mean, if they want to help, they can contact me and I will help them. I'm sure they can get my number, no problem.
Faceman will give you all the child pornographers he knows about, hundreds.
Which is none.
Full contacts, pictures.
Actually, I take that back because I saw one on MySpace today. but I digress.
Just one.
I don't like to be on MySpace, so.
Oh, it's my homepage.
Oh, damn. All right, so when I call these guys, I'm going to ask how we might be able to help. So maybe you might hear an answer appended to the end of this episode. You might not. You might.
And I would also help.
Yeah.
By making signatures for everyone.
I'm sure that there's a lot of people in BinRev and different places that would help because...
They could ask Enigma. He'd get right on it and solve all your problems.
Yes. Enigma will take care of you.
I heart Enigma.
This show is brought to you by Google Documents.
That worked out okay.
And, yeah, Google Documents. We use that for our show notes here, and it seems to work pretty well.
You skipped over the announcements.
Yes, I have an announcement to make. Kevin Rose is, in fact, awesome.
Okay.
Oh, he's so lead.
Well, shouts.
Okay, I got to give shouts to Strom and Barbecue.
I'm going to go ahead, and since we spent most of the time talking about computer security, computer crime, and computer forensics, there's a podcast, and I hate that word, but that's what they use, called Cyberspeak, that goes into detail about computer forensics, computer crime, and computer security. So I'd recommend that to anyone who is interested in learning more or learning about the processes done, those kind of things.
Okay. Do you have a link or anything?
You can find them on Google. Just type in Cyberspeak, or I think they're in the iTunes store thing. And they have an RSS feed, so you can use any client you want besides iTunes, as with most RSS feed shows.
Okay. Well, my shouts go out to Royal, Enigma, and Not Theory.
Oh, definitely Not Theory. In fact, we're on his PBS right now.
I got shouts to Not Theory, yes.
Yeah. So shouts to Royal, Enigma, and Not Theory. And I want to give shouts to the country of Israel, and I want to express my desire that if anybody from Israel, namely the Mossad, or anybody, wants me to work for them, help them out, or anything like that, I'm your man. Kind of goes for the U.S. government, but mainly I'll work for the Israel and the NCFI this week. Our site of the week is Google.com, because I didn't come up with one, so our site of the week is Google.com. any feedback for the show, this episode, or any other shows, if you want to call us noobs or yell at me for turning the whole show into a rant episode, you can email us at radio@benrev.com. And we don't
have any complaints. You can email your complaints to Enigma.
Yeah.
For making us do the spur-of-the-moment show.
Yeah, so...
And if you want to yell at anybody, just yell at Savant.
Why do you guys not like Savant? No, we're not.
I like Savant. I like Savant.
We're out of time. We got to keep going.
I'll give shouts to Savant.
Shouts to Savant.
All right. So, any feedback whatsoever, if you want to say the show was awesome, if you want to say it sucked, if you want to say, hey, don't ever let these guys on Ben Rev Radio again, or anything, send it to radio@benrev.com. We do not have any closing music yet, but I will tell you what, it will be the best closing music you've ever heard.
What do you want me to put in?
I don't know, we'll come up with something.
That clip of me reading Kevin Ridge's Wikipedia article.
And once again, we will see everybody...
Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Okay, well that concludes the show, but Face Man did in fact get that interview, so we're going to go ahead and play that now.
How are you involved in this project?
I work for the Alabama District Attorneys Association, and have been, a career prosecutor for some 16 years. And we, a couple of folks here at the office, developed this concept and was promoted it through partnerships with on the federal and state level.
How do you apply for this school as a student, or how are you selected?
Well, it depends on from what area you would be wanting to attend from, I guess. Law enforcement could apply through some of the courses that will be taught through the Secret Service. And those courses will be offered sometime after the first of the year. And so I guess there would be really a myriad of ways that you would apply to be able to take the courses. But the main thrust will be for law enforcement, keeping them abreast and updated with new and advanced concepts in digital evidence, that kind of thing.
Okay. How were the instructors chosen?
The instructors will be, some will be, I would imagine, staff, Secret Service agents that already train and teach in this area. But others will be, people that are already established, I would imagine, initially, people who are established within the industry. Proctors and facilitators will come in and also assist in teaching some of the classes, because the classes are going to be different. I mean, we're talking, I know your area is somewhat about network intrusions, but we're talking about computer forensics, first responder people, individuals who respond to digital crime scenes, which it could be a murder scene where somebody has conspired with someone else through email. Some people listen, think about computer technology crime, they think about only about pornography, or they think only about network intrusion or hacking. But it's everything. I mean, drug deals are set up through text messaging now, through cell phones. The communication age, the digital age, involves everything. Just as many aspects of our lives that are touched by it. They're also in the criminal world. Mm-hmm. They use the same technology that we use.
Yes.
So, I mean, it can be really any particular area that they could delve into.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I fully understand that. Myself, I'm what we call a phone freak, and I learn about the telephone systems mainly. And that's, criminals can definitely do that sort of thing, and they go into all sorts of technology.
There's so many things as tagging, there's so many things that can be done, particularly as things move wireless and things move smaller. We just need to keep up with that technology. We don't want to wake up one day and being in law enforcement or in any branch as a prosecutor, not being able to understand the technology. And so, 5 years from now, we want to be, right there with what's happening.
Mm-hmm. One of the things mentioned in the press release was a smart courtroom. Could you elaborate on that?
Yes, kind of the thought process that I had was to create a courtroom that has every bit of technology that you could conceivably put into a courtroom, where the tables and the jury box, everything's interactive. You have the judge and the jury and the counsel tables and the witness stand are all linked through wireless communication devices. So that if a witness on the witness stand is showing something that's very small, then the jurors would be able to look at that through some type of digital means, through a computer screen. See it close up, you know, instead of having to walk around and pass it around. I mean, this is for training purposes. This would be a courtroom where people could come in from, you know, Kansas, Nebraska, California, and look at a courtroom and say, you know, that would work. Or, you know, we could take that technology back to our hometown and present evidence in cases this way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and it helps everybody. I talked to a newspaper today, gave an interview today on this same concept. And you know, it's not necessarily that we're seeking to collect evidence to say, oh, we're going to convict someone. We collect evidence to seek justice. And more times than not, what we collect and what we do proves someone didn't do something.
Yeah.
As much as it proves that we did. It's only when somebody's arrested does it make the paper. You know, when we clear people, you know, or and there's an investigation that shows, well, that person's not a suspect anymore, that's not in the headlines. So, you know, for the police to be able to collect evidence to show what really happened is what we're seeking to do. You know, I mean, by collecting this digital evidence, we may give somebody an alibi that they would never have been able to prove otherwise. But because they left a digital footprint through a GPS or through a cell phone, we can show they weren't there at the scene of the crime, or they were there at the scene of the crime. So, you know, that's kind of our goal, but I kind of digress from the smart courtroom. We just want to be able to train people in that courtroom to be able to put people on the witness stand to show them, you know, what it's like to be cross-examined, or how do you present evidence that you retrieved from a cell phone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you display that to a jury so we can kind of work through those things in this courtroom before somebody goes back to Nebraska or Kansas and has to do it, you know, live.
Okay. I personally think that is an excellent idea, especially for the jury who is normally not trained on technical issues.
No, you're exactly right. Yeah. And it's just to have this space. And it was, you know, in the early, I guess, concept meetings about this institute having this, that was one of the things that I just, as a, you know, courtroom prosecutor, because that's what I do, and I've done it for many years, I understand how difficult it is to be able to convey to a jury the idea or thought you have about a particular piece of evidence, and this will really help us in being able to do that. You know, if you've got some type of, you know, device or equipment and you want to, you know, put something up on a screen, if you've got a small photograph or a small piece of evidence, you know, if you've got a bullet and it matches a shell casing, well, instead of having someone tell them that it matches, you know, you can put it on a piece of equipment and it'll display, you know, on a projector screen for a jury. And that's the kind of stuff you see on television a lot. But, you know, most courtrooms, most places in the country don't have that. And sometimes it's resources, sometimes it's money, but a lot of times it's the fear of the technology. And if we can remove a little bit of that mystique when they come here to train, then maybe they'll be able to take that back and be able to utilize that in that courtroom.
And I know with fear of technology, one of the things that I've realized in the hacking scene is that people fear what they don't understand.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. It, you know, I believe, to me, information is power. And the more information people have, the more empowered they are to make decisions. And so being able to, you know, that's what we're talking about here. It's to be able to collect information in investigations or in whatever situation it is, to maybe there's an identity theft or whatever there is, for the people responsible for making a case or doing what's right, for them to have as much information as they can so they can make the right decision to charge somebody or not charge somebody, to go for a jury to make the right decision.
Yes.
An employer, you know. So don't leave any, you know, any stone unturned, and this just gives us a tool to turn them over.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the class curriculum?
Right now, we're looking at probably a first responder type course initially that would have, you know, we know what to do when we go in and see, you know, a dead body,
mm-hmm.
or a bank's been robbed. But if you walk in and you've got somebody that's been using a computer to counterfeit the stocks and bonds, you know, or you've got somebody who's been running a child pornography website, what do you do? Do they turn the machine off? Do they unplug it? Do they search it there? Do you need a search warrant for the computer and the house? You know, what do I do as a police officer in rural Kansas? What do I do? How do I handle that scene? and we'll teach that.
So it sounds like you might actually be making some of the laws as you learn about this.
Yeah, I mean, the police officers, you know, we can't collect any digital evidence either through a computer hard drive or from an email or from a cell phone unless we do it the same way we collect blood and fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to, or not fingerprints, but blood or any other physical evidence we collect now. It's got to be through a search warrant, consent, or some other constitutionally recognized means.
Yes.
So this is not Big Brother. We're not looking at people's emails. You know, we're not listening to phone calls. You know, we get those devices through the way we get things now.
And okay.
So, but what do we do when we get there? And we want to make sure that police officers understand what their rights are in collecting evidence. They don't leave anything behind that they are entitled to get, but they don't go beyond what they're entitled to get either.
Mm-hmm.
So first responder courses of somebody at a digital crime scene, or any crime scene that involves digital evidence.
Yes.
It'd be probably a week-long course. And then there's probably two others. One will be computer forensics, which is, you know, the mining of the data, evidence from hard drives or whatever device, cell phone, laptop, whatever.
Yes.
And then there'll be a network intrusion courses. And then we'll have variations of those courses for prosecutors, judges, and then, you know, some of the corporate folks, some of the, you know, corporate financial, banking, lending institutions, that kind of thing, that are getting, you know, eating up pretty good as far as, you know, internal, not necessarily internal thefts, but corporate thefts, people, you know, breaking into systems, that kind of thing, financial losses, identity theft, that kind of thing. There'll be, you know, some courses designed with those folks through the foundation we've created. We want to work with the foundation. We'll also work with hopefully some of the hardware and software industry as far as some of the, you know, things that they do as far as, you know, if we need to work up new protocols, that kind of stuff, there'll be some of those things there as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and my final question is, how do you think that hackers might be able to help you?
You know, I tell you, I know I've seen and read a lot of the literature. I know the conventions are in Vegas, and I haven't been to them, and I've thought about going to some of those things. And I guess, you know, education in working with law enforcement, if your goal is to only to learn and get information but not hurt the system or the people who own the system, you know, if you're looking at something, I guess if you've gone into a system, if your goal is not to hurt the system, when I say system, I'm talking about a network system.
Yes, yes, I understand that.
Or damage or hurt, you know, someone who's connected to that, then I guess, you know, if your ability to train or educate us, I guess, would be invaluable. I know I had a case not long ago where someone had gone into a system, and, you know, one of the things that we wanted to learn was, you know, how? You know, how'd you do it? And so, I mean, that's, you know, that would be a big help to law enforcement, I think, to be able to understand, you know, weaknesses and that kind of thing, because there's so many systems that are vulnerable, and there's so many people that are malicious in their intent and, you know, want to do damage. And I really don't understand that. That's one of the things I've always, I guess, struggled with for years, is, you know, just vandalism, really.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me at all.
I really never, as a kid, I didn't understand it, and I don't now, but I know it exists. And, you know, my career started as a counselor for troubled kids, and I work with them, and I understand, you know, there are things that I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably never will. If I prosecuted a triple murder case, I can't understand why this person did the brutal acts that he did to that family. So, you know, I kind of quit trying to figure things out and just try to help the people who have been hurt by it. But, you know, I've worked with people who've had their identity stolen, and years later they're still trying to unweave the mess. And so, you know, and somebody goes in and just, you know, does, you know, and hurts or harms a you know, a system like that, I just, it's hard for me to understand the, you know, just that maliciousness to want to hurt a system or to hurt people, you know, associated with it. But, you know, they do. And so I guess from you guys is when you, I mean, who's going to know about bad seeds before you do? Nobody. You're going to know first. And I guess any way that you can, and I know nobody likes to turn folks in, that kind of thing, I'm not advocating that, but...
Well, I believe that we are more than happy to turn somebody in if we see that they're doing something that is distinctly illegal.
Yeah, well, I think that's the big help, is being able to identify folks and try to you know, educate that you know, that it's just not right to damage what someone else has worked really hard to create.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, unfortunately, that's a big part of what happens out there. I say it all the time. I get people call, and you know, their website, they've got a small business, and you know, and they can't open up, they can't go because somebody's gone in and changed prices, changed order forms, you know, and now they've had to shut their website down. It lost them a week of business.
Yeah.
You know, and a week in a small business can kill your entire industry.
Yeah.
That you've created. So, you know, and it was nothing done for no other reason other than it was somebody could.
Yeah.
So I guess identifying those folks and helping law enforcement would be a big plus.
Thank you very much.
Sure. I hope I've answered your questions. Feel free to call me. You got my number.
Yes, I do.
And just keep in touch. What's your website again?
It is binrev.com, BINREV.
What you just heard was an interview with Barry Mattson, who works for the Alabama District Attorney's Office, by myself, Faceman, who works for no one.
Except for me, of course.
Barry cleared up a few things that I'm sure we got wrong in the episode. And I think kind of the main thing he cleared up was kind of the attitude towards hackers that we felt was wrong. But I think we realized that this was mainly just the Hoover press secretary, that Barry's not a bad guy. I want to absolutely thank Barry for taking the time out of his day to do an interview, which took, I think it was a 17-minute interview. And I definitely want to thank him for that. And we're going to be in contact. If anybody wants to help out in any way, if you want to send something that you may know that you think the National Computer Forensics Institute may find of use, if you'll send that to me, I'll send that to him. I don't want to drop his email address on the show because I didn't ask him. So... if he doesn't mind, if he'll send me an email, maybe I'll have Enigma put that in the show notes. But again, I want to thank Barry Mattson for taking the time out of his day to do that interview. And in the episode, we really kind of had... A lot of it was spent on a rant that this might not work out too well. But after talking with Barry, I am in the firm belief that this is going to be an absolutely excellent program. And I'm going to help out however I can. I definitely think this is a good thing for the community. And one of the things that we kind of talked about that I realize now is that this isn't just about crimes dealing with computers. Well, it is dealing with computers, but it seems that the National Computer Forensics Institute is more about the computers involved with normal crimes from... what we discussed, but it also would deal with regular network intrusions and DRM, digital rights management, and everything else that's on the list in the press release, but that it's not just focused towards that. He mentioned murder a couple of times and the computers in that area and how the agents or the police don't know what to do, and I think that's a major problem, and this should eliminate some of that, and it's an absolutely excellent idea that they have here. And the other thing I was wondering about was, you know, could the regular old Joe Sixpack down the road go to this? And the answer is sort of. The school, as he said, is available to anybody in computer security, but it's mainly for local law enforcement and federal agencies and law enforcement in general, and judges and prosecutors and things of that nature. So I mean, I believe that you could apply for it. We spent a little bit of time on that. But a majority of our time was spent on the smart courtroom, sort of, and kind of the ignorance that the regular jury has. And one of the things we got and said in the show was that it would be Drake, you're going to have to edit this part out. My pause here.
Oh, thanks, Face Man, because if you didn't say anything, I would have just left it in. In fact, I'm going to leave it in now. What the hell?
It would be for training purposes and not for an active courtroom, which is kind of something we kind of assumed on the show. But overall, it was an absolutely excellent interview. We covered all the major topics. He straightened out a few things, and I've said this before. I don't know why I'm saying it again, but one of the things that Barry mentioned was cons in Las Vegas, which we, of course, know as DEF CON, and his interest in the hacker mindset. So maybe we'll be seeing him around the forums, DEF CON Hope, maybe the local 2600 meetings. Barry, if you're listening, you can consider that your official invitation to come join us. So, once again, I want to thank him for being such a great interviewee. It was my first interview. It was my first time to really kind of act like the press, and I think it was a lot of fun, and that's what the show is all about, learning, having fun, and I think we definitely had a lot of fun on this episode. So, thanks to everybody, and shouts to the NCFI and Barry Mattson.
What am I supposed to put at the end?
Jazz music.
Jazz music, okay.